Welcome, I'm Holly Kernan, and this is Your Call. Since the financial crisis of 2008, over 8 million homeowners have received foreclosure notices, and nearly 15% of all loans exceed the value of the home. That's called being underwater, meaning that you owe more on your mortgage than your house is actually worth. But according to RealtyTrack, the housing market trends are pointing in a positive direction, with projected foreclosures of 800,000 homes this year. That's down from 1.1 million last year. And that's what we're calling progress these days. But that optimism is not shared by everyone. Richmond Mayor Gail McLaughlin says her city has not seen the recovery everyone is talking about. In a recent Chronicle editorial, she wrote, some 900 families lost their homes to foreclosure last year alone. Nearly half of Richmond homeowners are still underwater on their mortgages, meaning they owe more than their properties are worth. Many more homes will be lost to foreclosure in the coming years unless we take action to prevent it. The city is planning to use eminent domain to take over some underwater mortgages and help the city's residents stay in their homes. So can the Richmond model be duplicated in other cities across the country? And how are our other mortgage relief programs working so far? Well, joining us to talk about this, we have in studio Mayor Gail McLaughlin. She's the mayor of Richmond, California. She's a green mayor, and she joins us in studio.
Nice to be here. Holly. Yeah. So very nice to be here.
Good to have you. And we're also joined on the phone from New York by Ben Hallman. He is the senior financial writer at the Huffington Post, which is based in New York. Previously, he was a business and finance reporter at the investigative nonprofit, the Center for Public Integrity. Hi, Ben.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us. All right. Well, let's start with Mayor McLaughlin. Can you first give us a snapshot of how the foreclosure crisis is affecting Richmond? What have you seen over the past 5 years or so?
Yes. Thank you so much, Holly. Let me share with you a little bit about the situation in Richmond. I mean, first of all, the housing crisis is not over in Richmond. We're still feeling the devastation among our Richmond community. There were, as you said, around a little over, actually, 900 foreclosures in the main Richmond zip codes in 2012. And we currently have about 230 homes that are in the foreclosure pipeline. And there's over 4,600 homeowners who have their mortgages underwater, you know, which means that their mortgages are much higher than their the value of their home currently.
And just to give a sense of context, the city of Richmond has a population of about 106,000 people.
Correct, okay. Correct. And that's mostly people of color, African-American and Latino families. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones who are really hit by this housing crisis the worst and continue to be hit by this ongoing issue of foreclosures. So we decided that it was really, really important that we do everything we can to help our homeowners and to do everything we can to really reverse the economy's freefall that we still feel in Richmond. And actually, we feel it's still happening around the country. So we want to do this by way of restoring community wealth as a whole, and we can do this by intervening in this process having what we do through this program is we buy mortgages that are likely to end up in foreclosures.
The city
buys them with our funding partner. We have a funding partner who is Mortgage Resolution Partners, otherwise known as MRP. And with their help, the city buys the mortgages that are likely to end up in foreclosure and negotiates new mortgages that homeowners can afford. And we do all this at no cost to the city. We think it's, you know, a way to keep homeowners in their homes, money in their pockets, and help our local economy as a whole.
So what prompted you to take this path as opposed to try and negotiate with the banks that hold the mortgage currently, for example?
Well, we have been doing that. You know, we have been, our various city departments have engaged with the banks. There have been nonprofits in the city that have been engaging with the banks. And frankly, the amount of success rate, outcome, hasn't been that great. So it's clear that Obama's and the federal government's policies have not led to the kind of results that we need to see. They have not set up a situation that requires the banks to reset mortgages. So
most families were just struggling with this on their own, or maybe with the help of a nonprofit.
Absolutely.
And you sort of said, okay, we're going to step in as a city.
Well, what happened was this company, Mortgage Resolution Partners, came to us, also a wonderful community group, ACE, Americans are the Alliance of Californians for Community Empowerment, also has been a great partner in this process. And so we were approached by MRP and also ACE and talked about how Richmond could benefit from this. And we did our due diligence. We realized that this is a legal process and that it would be at no cost to the city, and we're totally indemnified legally. And we can help our community. We can help our neighborhoods, because this, when we have so many homes in foreclosure, homes boarded up, it costs the city for crime, public safety services, it costs the city for code enforcement, property values in the surrounding neighborhoods go down. And if we can reset these mortgages, we will save homeowners $1,000 a month in terms of their mortgage payments. And that money will be in our homeowners' pockets for, spending in local businesses. And we estimate that that 2,500 jobs can be created. $170 million could be pumped into our local economy by way of savings to our residents.
And who's critical of this plan? What are your critics saying, and what do you think of those criticisms is fair?
The criticisms, the critics, and those who are criticizing us are with the big banks, are a group called SIFMA, who's, a group of services who represent the big banks, servicers, and they are trying to present this as illegal. The whole idea, which it isn't, this idea came forward from a Cornell University professor, and it's been researched by many lawyers. The idea is to voluntarily get the lenders to sell the mortgages, not the homes, but the mortgage to the city at fair market value. If they won't do it voluntarily, we will take it by eminent domain. We will buy it through eminent domain, because we will pay a fair market price as well through that process. So it's eminent domain has been used, by cities, forever in terms of public use, purchasing things, land and for streets and such, but also for other things.
And it's frequently been very controversial.
It's been controversial, but when it causes people to lose their homes and stuff and such. But in this regard, what it's doing is keeping people in their homes, because during this whole process, the homeowner stays in their home. This is done clearly by way of a voluntary request to the homeowner if they would like to have this done. But it's the cities have done this for contracts, for insurance policies, things other than land have been taken by eminent domain as well. So we're totally within our rights as a city, and the city is totally indemnified. We have nothing to lose, and we think we have everything to win.
And you're listening to Your Call. I'm Holly Kernan, speaking with Richmond Mayor Gail McLaughlin. We're also joined by financial reporter Ben Hallman. Hi, Ben.
Hi.
Hi. Can you give us a sense of the national picture, and what are other cities suffering some of the same issues that Richmond is, and what do you think of this as a solution?
Sure. I mean, what we're seeing right now is really a story of two Americas when it comes to the housing markets. In some former foreclosure capitals like Phoenix and Atlanta, Orlando, Florida, home prices are soaring. Wall Street investors are buying up homes as soon as they hit the market. This is actually causing a challenge for would-be home buyers. San Francisco is experiencing this problem too. where you know, these folks are coming in with cash and making bids that, you know, ordinary people who have to finance their mortgage can't necessarily compete with.
And this is what Mayor McLaughlin is calling vulture investors. Explain why you're calling them vulture investors, or go ahead, Ben, just explain the concept to us.
Sure. Well, the idea, I mean, so you have hedge funds backed by Wall Street money who are you're buying up homes for cash. So they're often renting them out. The long-term bet, presumably, is that, you know, home prices will increase rapidly and they can make a big profit. Local speculators are also in the game, flippers. But what's happening in some other cities, Richmond included, is that they're simply being left behind. Home prices are not increasing in Cleveland, Detroit, other cities. These neighborhoods are still dotted with foreclosed and abandoned homes. And the, you know, the biggest problem for homeowners who have managed to hold on is, as the mayor explained, is that they're underwater, that they owe more than their mortgage is worth. And, you know, this poses a lot of problems. For one, they can't sell the house without taking a big loss. And many are questioning whether it even makes sense to continue to hold on to, continue to make payments.
But can I ask, what is the problem with what you're calling vulture investors? What's the problem with these people who have a lot of money that are coming in and buying up homes? Why isn't that a market solution that we should consider?
Well, you know, I didn't use the term for vulture investors, but they are, I mean, the problem for the average home buyer is that you show up to an open house or to a new listing, and there's a dozen other people there, and half of them have cash in their hand. And again, if you are a middle-class person of modest means, it's simply impossible to compete with somebody who can pay cash. Home buyers would prefer cash because it's, you know, much less complicated and there's less chance that the offer will fall through. I previously reported on some families in the Phoenix area who had spent, you know, more than a year trying to buy a house who are kind of confronted by this challenge. The other possible issue is that, you know, home prices are being driven up faster than is prudent. We saw what happened 5 or 6 years ago with Wall Street investors banking on mortgages and the collapse that followed. So there's certainly some fear there that the cycle could be repeated.
And Mayor McLaughlin, who did use the term vulture investors, wanted to get in here and
right.
weigh in.
Right. Yeah. I mean, clearly what Ben said was correct. But and what it really comes down to is where you put your priority in terms of improving the economy. If we continue to let this big money investors to snatch up these homes because they can pay cash, and we don't allow new homeowners or homeowners potential homeowners who really want to have a chance in stabilizing their lives and having quality of life, who are we really improving the economy for? And, we are putting it right back in the hands of those who have created the problem. So we really need to put the money, the homes, the stabilized lives and quality of life pathway back on track for residents, average residents.
And that's Gail McLaughlin, who is the mayor of Richmond, California, and her city is implementing a radical new idea to stem the tide of foreclosures. We're also joined by phone by Ben Hellman, who is a senior financial writer at the Huffington Post, and he was also a business and finance reporter at the investigative nonprofit, the Center for Public Integrity. You're listening to Your Call. I'm Holly Krennan, and let me invite our callers to join this discussion about how to stem the tide of foreclosures. The number to join our conversation is 866-798-TALK. It's a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. And if you've been impacted by the foreclosure crisis or seen your neighborhood change, give us a call and let us know. If you're somebody who's tried to modify your loans with your lender, how has that process been for you? And if you're a banker, we'd also like to hear your perspective on this. And what changes have you seen in the way that banks are working with homeowners? 866-798-TALK is the toll-free number. Again, it's 866-798-8255. You can also email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org. And what solutions do you see to the mortgage crisis and the financial meltdown? I'll give out the number one more time. We've got full lines, but it's 866-798-8255. And Ben, let me go to you. Just in terms of what we were talking about and following the money, who's benefiting from the foreclosure crisis right now?
Who's benefiting? Well,
financially.
So- Well, many people would say that the financial institutions, these loan servicers that manage these accounts, are benefiting. Some many studies have shown that the longer a home stays in foreclosure, the more fees that these financial institutions can collect. But I think big picture, the problem that the mayor discussed is a conundrum that has sort of seemed out of reach to solve. The underwater borrowers are essentially stuck in place. The federal government has made several sort of timid efforts to help solve the problem. For example, if you're underwater, you qualify for what's called the HARP plan. You could potentially qualify for what's called the HARP plan. But this is essentially an interest rate reduction. It does not reduce the principal owed, and that's the big challenge. I mean, there are homeowners out there who have a $300,000 mortgage, but the home is worth on paper $120,000, $130,000, and these are the folks that the Richmond mayor and others are suggesting this eminent domain plan could help.
And what about, there was also the national settlement with banks that California was a party to. How come that hasn't helped?
The average homeowner, this is a relatively small amount of money, and it benefits mostly people who have already lost their home. What we're talking about now are efforts to help those who have managed to hold on for all these years, help them stay in their house.
And do you think, are other cities considering the model, the Richmond model?
Several have. I mean, this is an idea that's been percolating about for a few years. I wrote last year about San Bernardino County, which was seriously weighing this proposal, but it was they eventually decided not to go through with it. The Wall Street investors were, vehemently opposed, had threatened to sue, promised to sue, essentially, and their lobbying seemed to pay off down there.
So we have the trailblazer here in studio. We're speaking with Mayor Gail McLaughlin of Richmond and Ben Hallman, who's on the phone. He's a financial reporter. You're listening to Your Call. I'm Holly Kernan. Let's go to the callers. We've got a lot of people on the line. Let's start with Kevin in Felton. Hi, Kevin. Welcome to Your Call.
Hi, thanks. There's something about this process I've never understood, and that has to do with the question of why the banks haven't been more willing to negotiate down the principal on underwater mortgages when they then resell the property at a major loss against their original loan to the borrower. And I understand that they have all kinds of massive tax breaks and write-offs and all that, but still, I'd really like to understand why that hasn't been successful, why the banks have not written down, renegotiated the value of the house and the mortgage.
Well, that's an excellent question. Thank you, Kevin. Go ahead. We're going to go to Mayor McLaughlin and then Ben.
I agree. It's in their interest to really do that right off the bat, to reset the mortgages on their own. I think they're just very short-sighted. They keep wanting the money and from at the current rates, the current mortgage payments, and they'll keep trying to get as much out of the homeowners as they can until it's at a situation where the homeowner either walks or in some way they take it through it goes into foreclosure.
Ben, maybe this is something you can explain. I mean, it seems that most people are rational actors, so there must be some financial incentive not to reset.
Well, there's a few issues at play. I mean, under the national mortgage settlement, and there's been several mortgage settlements, and they're confusing, but the one that was reached at the beginning of last year, many banks are writing down the principal of homes. They're required to do so. But the settlement only applies to loans the banks themselves hold on their own books. And most mortgages are not held by the financial institutions that are sending you the letters, the Bank of America, Wells Fargo. Most mortgages are held by someone else, often by an investment trust.
Meaning that they've been bundled together and sold to investors, is that?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Or they're held by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, which have refused to participate, citing this moral hazard question. And what they propose is that, you know, if you start writing down the value of homes, you pose a moral hazard. Everybody is going to want to have their home mortgage written down. You know, mortgage contracts will no longer be enforceable, and you'll have, you know, chaos in the mortgage market, essentially, is what's been argued. That, you know, that theory has been challenged by people within Fannie and Freddie, their own sort of analysts. Nevertheless, that's sort of the theory that holds true today.
And we're starting out with these bundled loans that they claim they can't modify because, as was said, they have these hundreds of distant investors. And so Richmond is initially targeting these. They're called private label securities in terms of our, you know, working and negotiating for reduced principal.
And Mayor McLaughlin, you say that your program has no cost to homeowners or taxpayers. So how is it financed?
It's financed through MRP. They put up the money to purchase the property at fair market value, or they put up the money to for the city to acquire it through eminent domain. They get a flat fee through the program, not through any of the city's money.
Got it. And you're listening to Your Call. Let's try and get one more caller in before we go to a break. Kay in Richmond, welcome to Your Call.
Oh, hi. And I just want to call. I'm a Richmond resident. I want to applaud our mayor and groups like ACE for the courage and determination to help the hundreds, if not thousands, of struggling homeowners in our community. Although my family is fortunate enough not to be underwater, it helps everyone to help people who are struggling. And I just hope other cities take note and resist the horrible pressure from the Wall Street lobbyists who created this mess in the first place. We're getting no relief from the financial industry and no real support from the federal government. So clearly, communities like my own, with leadership like Mayor McLaughlin's, are taking matters into their own hands. And I'm just very proud to be a resident of Richmond.
And Kay, how have you seen your city affected by the foreclosure crisis? Have you seen concrete evidence?
Oh, absolutely. There are whole neighborhoods affected by this, and the desperation of families who are trying, families living in their cars, and homes that are abandoned, and all the problems that engenders. So again, this isn't a matter of helping just a certain sector of the community. This helps our entire community to help people who want to stay in their homes, who want to be contributing and productive residents. And again, through the greed of Wall Street, are unable to do so. Again, this is wonderful.
Thanks so much for the call. Mayor McLaughlin is shaking her head.
Thank you very much to the caller. That is so very, very true. It not only helps the homeowners who are recipients of the reduced principal loans, but it helps the community at large. People have more, neighborhoods are more stable. Homeowners have more money in their pockets to spend at local businesses. Local businesses thrive more, and they can expand and hire more Richmond residents. The amount of money pumped into our local economy by stabilizing the housing crisis that we suffer still in Richmond is a major benefit, and we see it as a major benefit for the country as a whole. So we hope we'll become a national model.
And that's Mayor Gail McLaughlin of Richmond, California. She's created this Richmond model to try and address the foreclosure crisis that has hit cities like Richmond, California, particularly hard. We're also joined by Ben Hallman, who's a senior financial writer at the Huffington Post. He was also a business and finance reporter at the investigative nonprofit, the Center for Public Integrity. And you can join our conversation and tell us about your own experience with your mortgages, your home underwater. Give us a call at 866-798-TALK. It's a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. You can also send us an email to feedback@yourcallradio.org. How have you seen your neighborhood or your city affected by the financial crisis? And what do you think of Mayor McLaughlin's plan? What are the pros and cons? And might it work in other cities like your own? 866-798-TALK. Talk is our toll-free number. That's 866-798-8255. You're listening to Your Call. I'm Holly Kernan, and we'll be right back after this short break.
You're hearing Your Call on KALW 91.7. Your call depends on engaged listeners. You can join today's conversation by calling 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255, or post a comment or question at yourcallradio.org, where you'll also find links related to today's show.
For those of you joining us now, I'm Holly Kernan, and this is Your Call. We're podcasting our show. You can find more information at yourcallradio.org. That's also where you can listen to past shows and find out what's coming up next. Tomorrow, we'll have a conversation about the value of getting a university or college diploma. For young college graduates, the unemployment rate is 8.8%, compared with 5.7% in 2007, and the underemployment rate is 18.3%. So how has the cost-benefit analysis of college changed for poor and middle-class young people? And Wednesday, we're going to discuss the trial of George Zimmerman, who on Saturday was found not guilty of murder or manslaughter of the unarmed teenager Trayvon Martin. Also, next Monday, we'll be discussing the new film Fruitvale, which is about Oscar Grant. And we're hoping that Your Call listeners will go and see the movie, which is out in theaters now, and join our discussion, which will be a week from today, next Monday. Today we're talking about the foreclosure crisis, and we have the mayor of Richmond, California, Gail McLaughlin, on, along with Ben Hallman, who's a senior financial writer at the Huffington Post. And we're talking about Mayor McLaughlin's radical idea to stem the tide of foreclosure by using eminent domain to buy up the mortgages and resell them back to the homeowners. So Mayor McLaughlin, right before the break, we had a resident of Richmond come on and say, this is good for everybody. My mortgage is not underwater, but this helps the entire community. I'm just wondering if you see this as a model for other other cities, or does Richmond have some unique properties that make it really work there as opposed to other places?
Actually, it is being utilized. We're kind of joining a JPA, a Joint Powers Authority, with some other cities in California.
Other cities?
We are, one of the cities is El Mundo, and one is, I believe it's Los Puentes. Also, North Las Vegas has just is starting to explore this. So it's a group of cities, and we hope it spreads further. I will be meeting with a senator from Las Vegas who will be coming into Richmond soon because he's very interested in it. So it's something that we do think is a model for other cities. Certainly Richmond has communities of color in particular, but lots of our families are underwater. Almost a half of our mortgages in Richmond are underwater. So, but it's something that we think other communities suffer as well. And certainly this crisis has hit low-income communities who were victims of predatory loans the hardest. And those communities exist in Richmond and in many other cities.
And explain what you mean when you call something a predatory loan.
Yes. A predatory loan is someone who has received a subprime loan that basically they have increased interest rates that kind of bubble up throughout the course of the mortgage that weren't explained to them, that, were in the fine print. And so many of these mortgages could have been, many of these homeowners could have been given traditional mortgages, but the banks proceeded to put forward this predatory loan
And they marketed to certain
and
communities.
And marketed it to certain communities, exactly.
And when you say traditional loan, you're talking about a 30-year fixed mortgage.
Yes, your average mortgage rather than these subprime loans. So we've suffered desperately in Richmond, many of our families, especially in certain neighborhoods. And so it's essential that we do something, because those who created the problem don't have the solution. I mean, I've talked
and leaving
directly.
Leaving it up to individuals to try and negotiate has been very difficult for people.
Very difficult. Very, very small amount of help has been given.
And let's go to Juan in Salinas. Hi, Juan. Welcome to Your Call. Do we have Juan, guys? Are you there, Juan, in Salinas? Okay, let's go to Chris in Oakland. Hi, Chris. Welcome to your call.
Hi. Thank you so much. I have to say I had no idea that there were so many underwater mortgages in Richmond, and that sounds like a huge challenge. My question was to understand a little bit better two things about how it's paid for. One is the mayor had mentioned that it was neither taxpayers nor the participants, but the company that's involved does get paid a fee. And so my first question is how does the fee get paid? What happens to the house after it's taken through eminent domain? And then the second is, will the program be able to pay for the what I would imagine will be the significant legal cost of essentially suing to get possession of the house through eminent domain?
And stay on the line with us, Chris. Go ahead, Mayor McLaughlin.
Yes. The fee is $4,500 per transaction that MRP gets. It comes from the program. It comes from the money that gets negotiated in terms of the sale and then the new mortgage that will be
so
put
sort of
back.
Out of the refinance.
It's out of the refinance, okay. Right? So that is where the money comes from. MRP is a private company that has backing of friendly investors versus the Wall Street investors that have caused this problem. So they will cover fully any legal costs. The city is fully indemnified from any harm due to any legal action that is taken. So we did our due diligence. The city will not be harmed in any way by any legal action. MRP is really on the cutting edge of this, and we in terms of doing all the research and handling the actions of transactions for the city, although the city has the decision-making power for each transaction.
And Chris,
one more thing, It's not, we don't take the property, the home, I don't know if this was said or not, by eminent domain. We take the mortgage. The home is not taken. The homeowner stays in the home. This is eminent domain of the mortgage, the loan.
And then you refinance it back to the
homeowner with a reduced principal and reduced mortgage payments.
And have you heard any objection from these homeowners who are having...
Well, at this point, we're making the offers to the servicers to see if they will do it voluntarily, and each homeowner will have the choice of whether or not they want to do this. We think many will see it as a great benefit and will take advantage of the city doing this on their behalf.
And so, how far along are you in this process?
We're already identifying all the homes that qualify in this first stage, which are the PSA loans. And in the initial stages of contacting the servicers to see if they will voluntarily sell the loans.
And Chris, does that answer your question?
I mean, it'll be interesting to see. If the servicers basically come back and say, we're not interested in doing it voluntarily. You'll need to issue a writ, and then they can challenge the writ in court and. And take it all the way through the legal process. If that'll be super expensive in terms of making it hard for the program to work, but we'll see. So thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for your call, Chris. Matt writes in and says, "Why aren't more cities doing this?" Let me put that to Mayor McLaughlin, and then also to you, Ben.
More cities are not doing this just because it's very new. We stepped up as MRP approached us, and also ACE. I want to just put a plug in for the wonderful community group ACE that has been educating the community about this so everybody understands it.
ACE is the Alliance of Californians for Community Engagement?
For community empowerment. So, that was a piece that MRP was kind of missing at the beginning. So they've provided a really strong piece here in explaining things, holding town hall meetings and such. But other cities are stepping forward, like El Mundo, I mentioned, and Los Puentes and North Las Vegas. So we think more and more cities are starting to inquire and will be stepping up.
And let's, Ben, I'll go to you in just a moment. I want to invite more callers to join us in this conversation with Mayor of Richmond, Gail McLaughlin, and Ben Hallman, who's a senior financial writer at the Huffington Post. And we're talking about the foreclosure crisis and how it's affecting cities and Richmond's radical idea to help people who have underwater mortgages as a way to reduce the risk that the whole city is incurring. You can join our conversation at 866-798-TALK. It's a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. And you can ask questions about how this might work or how it might work in your own city. And we're also asking you, what do you think is the best way to deal with the mortgage crisis? 866-798-8255. And if you're somebody who has an underwater loan or has tried to modify your loan, let us know what your experience has been like. The number is 866-798-8255. Talk. It's 866-798-8255. And so, Ben, we were talking just before the break. Somebody wrote in and said, how come more cities aren't doing this?
Well, you know, let me just first say that what's not in dispute is the need that these families feel. I mean, I've been reporting on the foreclosure crisis for a long time, and I get, you know, I still get lots of emails from people who are feel trapped and stuck in this situation. I mean, as the mayor said, it's terrible for not just the individuals who are going through the process, but the surrounding community. It depresses homes value, home values, et cetera. Why more communities are not doing this, I think, simply is that the opposition is formidable. In San Bernardino, which again I've written about before, they faced a well-funded opposition that threatened to sue. They also said that if you go through with this plan, mortgage costs will rise for every borrower. That essentially, the homeowners, even who are not participating in this plan, would pay more to borrow because of the risks, new risks associated. And that challenge has, was sufficient to defeat what was a very serious consideration by San Bernardino County. Other communities have also considered this. North Las Vegas, I think, as the mayor mentioned, some communities in the East Coast. But so far, they just haven't come through. And I think that the reason is simply that the opposition is well financed and has made a lot of threats.
And Mayor McLaughlin, did you feel reservations along those lines? And are you worried about repercussions?
I did not, because I felt clearly with our staff. We did the due diligence. We researched this. I explored all the ins and outs of it. And I know that these big banks, have been known just for any kind of new thing to threaten, whether it was mandatory seatbelts. There's this threat that comes back at you. It doesn't mean it's not a good thing. This is a good thing. And I just wanted to mention a couple other cities that are really standing strong and look forward to going forward with this are Seattle and Newark. So the West Coast is really kind of leading the way on this. Richmond, we're, I think, a little bit further along than anyone else, but there are other cities that are definitely moving in the same direction.
And let's go to more of our callers. Let's go first to Juan in Salinas. Hi, Juan.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yes. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. Look, I just wanted to say, again, applaud Mayor. You're awesome. Let me just say one thing that really hasn't been discussed. When you talk about the repercussions or the ripple effect with the community when you have depressed home values and foreclosures, let's talk about the renter situation. When you switch from an investor-driven economy to a owner-driven economy, I mean, who's going to take care of a home more? Someone who has pride in the home, who's going to take care of the yard, take pride in that home, or someone who rents it? Just look at community after community. Look at what's happened in 10 years. I remember 10 years when I was living in my neighborhood, the majority, 90% of the people that lived in my neighborhood were owners, okay? They owned their home, so they took care of it. They were on top of it, making additions. These are the people that are going to go to Home Depot. They're going to go spend money and take care of the house. If you're a renter, folks, you're not going to invest in that house. You're just going to drop it and say, look, let the owner take care of this. It's not my plumbing issue. It's not my yard. I'm going to do the bare minimum. That is the greatest, single greatest effect that this problem caused by Wall Street has had on this economy. If you want, look, the fact that these people think that this program isn't going to work is ridiculous. They're going to intimidate us to the very end. But the reality is this fear that Fannie Mae or any other of these institutions have that by, you know, dropping the my personal solution is if you drop the home value or the, I'm sorry, the principal owed across the nation, I have the effect would be the opposite. The economy is going to explode because all of a sudden all these people are going to take, you know what, my home that I owed $500,000 on, now I only owe $200,000. You know what? I will make that addition. I will fix the yard. I'll do this. I'll do that. And you're going to have people employed. That's the single greatest thing that's being ignored, the apathy you have when you become a renter, you know?
And Juan, do you have your own story about your own mortgage?
Absolutely. I owe close to $500,000, and I got a modification after 2 years of gut-wrenching, bloodthirsty, fights with these guys, with Bank of America, which I personally feel is, they are the hardest to deal with, even though they say that they're the ones that help the most. 2 years, it was very difficult. And, yeah, I got my modification, but, yeah, one little detail, I have a 40-year loan. They patched it into the loan. They would not reduce the principal, so I'll be dead before I own this home at the rate I'm going. Now, I'm glad. I appreciate the fact that my payment is more manageable. But ask me, am I going to invest any more in that house? No. I'm what I call a glorified renter at this point. I'm just going to go ahead and, maintain the status quo because how can I? My home is worthless. But if you drop the principal down, then I'm saying, you know what? I'll put in that second story. I'm going to fix that backyard like I've always wanted. I'm going to put the pergola in, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm living proof of how just the modification alone does not work. You have to give people the perception or the feeling that, hey, look, you have some value. You're going to build equity in the house. Start spending money. Go ahead. Go to these big box, Home Depots, Lowe's. Go to these places. Start spending money. That's going to benefit the economy.
Thank you so much for calling, Juan. Really appreciated hearing your comments.
No, thank you,
and
for your work.
About your own story. Ben, is that sound financial philosophy? If they were to reduce the principal across the board on underwater mortgages, would that benefit the economy as a whole?
Unquestionably. I mean, I think Juan raised a lot of interesting points there. The way a lot of homes are being refinanced right now through some of these government programs and through the bank's own efforts is to essentially, lower the interest rate, which is very helpful in many instances, but also to extend the length of the loan, tack on a balloon payment at the end, and not address the underlying problem for a lot of people, which is, again, that their house is worth a lot less than what they owe on it. And, what Juan said is right. I mean, you don't have, in this instance, you don't have much incentive to invest in your home. If you owe $500,000 and your house is worth $250,000, what incentive do you have to, make some repairs that would help drive the economy, put a construction worker to work, for example. And since this has happened on such a massive scale, with millions and millions of homes being underwater, it has unquestionably depressed the economy and the housing market as a whole.
And Juan mentioned some of the federal reforms. Last week we did a show on the reform of the banking system and what has become of the Dodd-Frank Act, which was supposed to regulate the banking system and regulate these riskier loans, subprime loans. One of our guests said that the Wall Street lobby has been able to render those reforms basically toothless. Is that your assessment too, Ben?
Toothless is, well, I don't know if I would go so far. I mean, there have been some helpful reforms. For example, when it comes to predatory lending, there are many more disclosures that, banks or mortgage brokers are required to make in advance. Some of the worst financial products that we saw, liar's loans and the like, are not happening anymore. I think the broader questions of whether, the reforms are preventing are going to prevent another crisis from happening, I think that's where the regulations have really not been adequate.
And I want to get to as many callers as I can. Let's go to Jackie in Oakland. Hi, Jackie. Welcome to your call.
Hi. Thank you. I have been underwater for probably 5 years now, and it's like an albatross around my neck. I have tried numerous times to refinance. I can't. My house needs to be painted. I can't do it. There's so many things that just basic home owning responsibilities that I would love to undertake, and I can. And I live in a neighborhood. I've kept up with my payments and all of that, but I just can't. I've been turned away by everybody. My mortgage is owned by an investor in New York, and so they're not covered under HARP 2 or 3. And for people like me, and there's millions of us, I can't do anything. And it just is, it sends me on an emotional roller coaster a lot of the time. I try to ignore it, but it really, really has been this horrible albatross around my neck. And when I've, you know, when I've been on blogs, et cetera, it's basically a very kind of libertarian mindset of like, you know, you got into this mess, you get out of it on your own. And it's just really been demoralizing.
Well, thank you for calling, Jackie, and we're sorry to hear that. You're in Oakland?
Yes. I don't see anything happening in Oakland. Nothing.
Mayor McLaughlin.
Yes, what the caller is stating is so very true. I mean, the economy is still in free fall. People's lives are drastically impacted by the housing crisis that continues for so many. And there needs to be a reversal of this. The whole economy will benefit. And that's why we went into this program. We really, what the other caller said about renters, you know, Richmond has half of our population rents. And we, you know, we would like to see more and more people as become homeowners. And instead, this housing crisis has put more and more people into renters.
And I heard you say that you were motivated in part to really take this on as a city because you came to be the mayor, one of the first green mayors in the country of Richmond in 2006, and you felt like, you know, you were making progress until this crisis hit.
Absolutely. Our city, we're still making progress because we work hard and we push forward. We've done so many magnificent things. I mean, in 2010, we were number one in the Bay Area for solar installed per capita. We have leading environmental initiatives, including a nationally renowned and award-winning green job training program. We've renovated parks and we have an urban agriculture movement. We've got the 32 miles of shoreline. So we have showcased our crime is down significantly while other cities have in the area have went up in crime. Richmond went down over 60% in terms of our homicides from 2007, 47 homicides, 2012, 18. So we have put in good strategies, and we have prioritized the real needs and the roots of our problems, poverty and roots of crime, being needing more opportunities for our residents. We've done all the right things, and we want to keep doing them. We are keeping doing them. This kind of a crisis, the housing crisis, the recession, slows us down and threatens really to stagnate us completely.
And let's get to as many more callers as we can. Let's go to Bill in San Francisco. Welcome to your call, Bill.
Morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I'd like to read a quote from a book called Pick Clean by Bobby Bittman. A quote, a home like food is a necessity. Banks loan you money they don't have based on the fact that you put up your house as collateral. This is because banks can list your home as an asset on their balance sheet. This allows them to loan you money they don't have by honoring your checks because money is backed by nothing. Once you sign a mortgage contract, when or if you can't make payments, they foreclose. Loan people know they can make money by simply raising the price of a home because when you put up the house as collateral, they are allowed to consider that money.
And Bill, do you have a question for us?
Well, I just wanted to read that. Well, I'm in this response to why are all these foreclosures? That's I was offering this as an perhaps a possible explanation.
Gotcha. Well, thank you.
In other words, it's really the banking system that
needs to be addressed.
They loan you money they don't have. It's called fractional banking.
All right. Well, listen, Bill, we're running out of time, so thank you very much for that. I'd like to just get some final thoughts from Mayor McLaughlin and from Ben. We've heard from a lot of underwater homeowners who don't have a program like this in their city. So what advice do you have to those people and to city leaders who are just saying, this is a crisis and we don't know how to deal with it? Let's start with you, Ben, and then Mayor McLaughlin will have the last word.
Well, so you're asking what advice would I have for underwater borrowers?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the first thing to do, I guess, is to check with there's two major refinancing programs sponsored by the federal government. The one that applies for underwater borrowers is called HARP, H-A-R-P. And that is, again, it's a refinance program. It's not a mortgage reduction program. You also should check to see if you do qualify, perhaps, for a mortgage reduction under the National Mortgage Settlement.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very narrow scope of people who might apply. If you have a Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac loan, you're out of luck. If you have an investor-backed loan, you're probably out of luck. These are bank-owned loans, which is maybe 10 or 15% of all the outstanding loans. Otherwise, if you live in a city like Richmond, I mean, it sounds like there could be a chance for you to, you know, benefit from this program that's being considered. I'm really eager to see how this turns out. Again, I've reported on some past approaches that have not worked out.
We'll put links to those articles at yourcallradio.org along with more information. Just 1 minute for final thoughts. Mayor McLaughlin.
Yes. It's as one of the callers said, it's truly the greed of the banks and the financials lenders that has caused this crisis and that, you know, we are feeling the fallout from. And, you know, another caller pointed out it's the banking system. So what we are doing is doing what they have not been able to do, and that is rectify and resolve this situation in the benefit of our neighborhoods, in the benefit of our community, so we in Richmond and other communities can go forward. For example, like we have LBNL, Lawrence Berkeley National Lab, who chose Richmond. We want to see a thriving new economy in Richmond, in the Bay Area, in the country, and this is a solution that is very sorely needed.
And we'll be watching to see how it works out. I want to thank you, Mayor McLaughlin, for joining us. Gail McLaughlin is the mayor of Richmond, California, and she is implementing a plan to stem the foreclosure crisis. I also want to thank Ben Hallman for joining us. He's a financial reporter at the Huffington Post. We're going to put links to all of that information at yourcallradio.org, and you can continue this conversation there by posting your comments and telling us your story or any resources that you have. I'm Holly Kernan. You're listening to Your Call. Thanks for joining us. What is the value of a college degree? On the Next Year Call, we'll have a conversation about job prospects for college graduates. During the past 8 years, tuition and fees have increased 34% at four-year public institutions, and outstanding student debt has surpassed the $1 trillion mark. Is education an investment worth making? What are the benefits of getting a post-secondary degree? It's Your Call with Rose Aguilar and you.
Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To sign up for our podcast or newsletter, or to share the show on Facebook or Twitter, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Razazan and Ali Budner produce the show. Matt Martin is our executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer. And Eric Jansen is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.